A business achieves a 55% operating margin, stratospheric returns on capital, and an 80 multiple. The market prices its dominance as permanent. Then, in a single afternoon, one regulatory decision shatters its monopoly, erasing half its value. How does an ostensibly invincible moat dissolve overnight?
It is, frankly, a terrifying scenario for any portfolio manager.
Welcome to this professional deep dive into the foundational research piece, The Hierarchy of Moats, from the Averaging Up collection by Jocelyn Dubay.
Right. And today, we are not asking the standard question of how deep a moat is. We are asking the crucial and honestly overlooked question of what sustains it.
Exactly. We will examine the fragile foundations of corporate monopolies and define the ultimate architectural framework for geometric compounding.
So where do we begin?
Let us examine our first core concept, the anatomy of a free surfer.
Yes. To comprehend the destruction of a monopoly, we must first establish a precise understanding of its architecture. The averaging up framework introduces a distinct entity known as a free surfer.
And this classification is not awarded lightly, right? It requires the absolute fusion of two highly specific variables.
Correct. We categorize these simply as A and B. The A represents the toll. This is your short duration, present day cash flow.
The immediate tariff the business collects for granting passage or providing a standard.
Precisely. And the B represents the wave. This is the long duration structural growth of the broader market.
Which brings us to the profound insight here. For a true free surfer, that B variable, that wave, must be natural, gratuitous, and completely uninvited.
Uninvited is the key word. The corporation does not manufacture the wave. It does not deploy capital to generate those macroeconomic forces propelling it forward.
Right. And when the A variable captures 100% of that naturally occurring wave, the mathematical relationship fundamentally shifts.
It is no longer an additive function. It becomes multiplicative.
A multiplied by B. I mean, the business essentially compounds geometrically without requiring proportional capital investment.
Exactly. This state of absolute fusion is what the text defines as the A paramount. The business absorbs structural global growth at, well, virtually zero marginal cost.
The primary case study provided in the text perfectly illustrates this architecture. And frankly, it serves as a stark warning to institutional investors.
You're referring to FICO in the year 2025.
I am. We can clearly delineate the two variables in their model. The A was a $10 toll extracted on virtually every mortgage, auto loan, and credit card decision processed in the United States.
Right. And the B was the massive, uninvited wave of global financialization. Credit was expanding rapidly, emerging demographics were entering the system, and crucially,
artificial intelligence was automating underwriting decisions.
Exactly. Algorithms were pinging credit scores at a volume impossible for human loan officers to match.
And FICO did not build the expansion of global credit. They certainly did not fund the AI revolution in underwriting.
No, the world financialized for its own distinct macroeconomic reasons, yet FICO captured the entirety of that volume.
It is akin to a toll booth placed on a naturally flowing river rather than a man-made canal.
That is an excellent analogy. The water flows with immense force regardless of the operator's effort.
Right, and the operator simply collects the tariff as the current rushes past. But this analogy reveals a fatal vulnerability.
The exclusivity.
Precisely. FICO's absolute exclusivity on that river was merely a regulatory mandate.
Right. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac dictated that only FICO scores were acceptable for government-backed mortgages.
And the market incorrectly priced a political decree as an immutable law of physics, which is a dangerous miscalculation.
Which perfectly sets up our next point.
Yes. Let us formally announce our second core concept, the breach and the mechanism of retrogradation.
The illusion of permanence was shattered by a singular, sudden catalyst. In mid-2025, FHFA Director Bill Pult authorized VantageScore 4.0 as a valid alternative to FICO for government-backed mortgages.
I really want to emphasize the sheer fragility demonstrated here. It required only one afternoon, one administrative decision to breach a 30-year monopoly.
It is staggering. VantageScore, which is jointly owned by Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, had been structurally locked out of the lucrative mortgage market since its inception in 2006.
And the moment that regulatory mandate dissolved, an aggressive, margin-destroying pricing war commenced immediately.
The offensive was severe. TransUnion and Experian slashed the price of a VantageScore to 99 cents.
Equifax reduced it further to $1. They even offered it completely free of charge to lenders who were already purchasing FICO scores.
Entirely undercutting FICO's $10 toll.
Simultaneously, Tier 1 financial institutions, including JP Morgan and Bank of America, conducted their own extensive backtesting.
And they concluded that VantageScore 4.0 actually offered superior predictive power for credit risk.
The financial markets reacted violently to this breach. FICO's stock systematically halved from its 52-week high.
A descent that culminated in a severe 9% plunge in a single trading session on March 12, 2026.
A 9% dissolution of market capitalization in a single session for an established incumbent is not a mere fluctuation.
No, it is a fundamental repricing of terminal value. But the financial contraction was merely the symptom here.
Right. The underlying theoretical shift is what the framework terms retrogradation.
We must be highly precise in our analysis here. The industry's wave did not disappear.
Global credit expansion and AI-driven underwriting remained a natural, powerful, structural force.
Exactly. But for FICO, the wave was no longer exclusive.
The mathematical implication of that shift is, well, it is profound. You are describing the precise moment a business model fractures.
The moment a competitor is allowed to share the wave, the incumbent business can no longer simply sit idly at the toll booth.
It must deploy capital to fight for its share of the current.
Exactly. FICO was forced into a defensive posture. They initiated $1.5 billion in stock buybacks to artificially support the share price.
They engaged in margin-compressing price cuts.
And they funneled heavy capital into research and development for FICO 10T, simply to prove their model's validity against VantageScore 4.0.
Capital that previously flowed directly to the bottom line as free cash flow was now being burned as defensive fuel.
This emphasizes the central mathematical paradox outlined in the source text.
Because the exclusivity dissolved, the multiplicative fusion of A times B was instantaneously broken.
It reverted to a simple additive function, A plus B. Growth ceased to be a gratuitous byproduct of structural tailwinds.
It suddenly demanded immense capital allocation and flawless operational execution. FICO did not perish as an entity. Its first quarter 2026 earnings still demonstrated revenue growth, but it fundamentally descended the gradient of corporate quality.
The wave is still free, but surfing it no longer is.
That is a brilliant way to put it. This brings us to our third core concept, the hierarchy of moats.
Right. The rapid deflation of FICO forces a rigorous reevaluation of traditional investment analysis. The discriminant among truly superior companies is not the depth of the moat.
Because depth is merely a symptom. And as we have established, a deep moat can be drained overnight.
Precisely. The true discriminant is the material of its foundation. The text details three distinct tiers within this architectural hierarchy.
Let us walk through them.
The first and most fragile tier is the regulatory moat, which the framework conceptualizes as sand.
This moat is created entirely by human decision, right? A legislative act, a regulatory mandate, or a political directive.
Exactly. As we saw clearly with FICO, what one human decision creates, another can instantaneously destroy. Political will is arguably the most unstable variable in global finance.
So a moat built on sand may appear vast and impenetrable to traditional valuation models, but it dissolves entirely with a single shift in the administrative tide.
Which leads us to the second tier, the mechanical moat, categorized as life support.
This foundation is sustained by continuous, relentless human execution and massive capital deployment.
The text cites some exceptional dominant examples. ASML spending $15 billion per cycle on research and development to maintain its extreme ultraviolet lithography supremacy.
Or Coca-Cola deploying $4 billion annually in global advertising simply to sustain its brand permanence.
Or consider Berkshire Hathaway, relying heavily on the singular, brilliant capital allocation of its management team.
These moats are incredibly deep, generating massive cash flows, but they're entirely dependent on continuous active intervention.
Precisely.
Allow me to interrogate the vulnerability inherent in that specific tier. If a corporation relies on flawless, continuous human judgment to survive, does that not make human genius a critical point of failure?
It absolutely does.
I mean, in a macroeconomic landscape defined by severe volatility, relying on perpetual operational perfection seems profoundly fragile compared to the blind permanence of an auto-reinforcing system.
Right. If ASML misses a single technological paradigm shift, their $15 billion expenditure becomes irrelevant.
Exactly.
And that is precisely the analytical leap required to understand the summit of this hierarchy. Human execution, no matter how disciplined, eventually falters.
A capital allocator makes a marginal error. A marketing cycle misreads the demographic shift.
Or an acquisition destroys shareholder value. The life support must be continuously powered, or the patient expires.
Which leads directly to the third and highest tier, the auto-reinforcing moat, conceptualized as coral.
This moat emerges organically from the structure of the system itself. Consider Visa's payment network.
It consists of billions of issued cards in the hands of consumers and tens of millions of integrated merchants globally.
It was, of course, initially built by human decisions and capital, but it crossed a critical mathematical threshold where it now perpetuates itself without active human intervention.
The network grows stronger and more indispensable with every marginal transaction, effectively operating as a living reef.
A new merchant accepts Visa simply because consumers demand it, and consumers carry the card because every merchant accepts it.
To dismantle this moat, a competitor would not merely have to out-execute Visa, they would have to dismantle the global financial infrastructure itself.
To fully grasp corporate compounding, we must evaluate our fourth core concept, dual duration and the complete taxonomy.
The averaging up framework deconstructs the philosophy of the infinite investor. It asserts that every business operates simultaneously on two distinct time horizons.
And failing to analyze both leads to critical mispricing. As we established earlier, A is the short duration asset, praising cash flows, protected by the structural integrity of the moat today.
While B is the long duration asset, the specific mechanism for future compounding over the next decade.
The crucial distinction within this framework lies in the nature of that long duration B. A mechanical B represents growth that fundamentally demands capital and execution.
Think of Amazon meticulously constructing individual fulfillment centers, negotiating real estate, and deploying robotics.
Or consider Couche-Tard executing highly complex acquisitions of regional convenience store networks.
Their return on invested capital may be exceptional, but every unit of growth requires a corresponding unit of capital expenditure and human judgment. It is linear.
Conversely, a natural B represents growth driven entirely by secular external forces at absolute zero cost to the firm.
MSCI serves as the perfect paradigm for this concept. As global institutional capital structurally rotates from active stock picking into passive index funds, MSCI captures the escalating basis points.
They do not fund the passive revolution. They do not educate the market on the benefits of indexing. They merely stand at the terminal point of the macroeconomic flow.
The software calculates the index regardless of whether $1 billion or $1 trillion tracks it. The growth is costless.
Synthesizing these concepts, the text provides a complete taxonomy consisting of 8 stable categories, mapping the ascent of corporate quality.
At the lower bounds, we find entities devoid of any structural protection, operating in highly commoditized markets.
Entirely dependent on continuous human effort merely to maintain parity. Moving upward, we encounter the stalwart.
A business possessing a robust mechanical moat and additive growth, perfectly exemplified by global entities like Johnson & Johnson or Walmart.
They possess pricing power and scale, but they must, you know, continuously fight to maintain it. Higher still in the taxonomy, we find the partially natural business.
The text utilizes Dollarama as an illustrative example here, right?
Yes. Dollarama benefits from a wave, specifically the macroeconomic trade-down effect during inflationary periods. Customers arrive uninvited, seeking value.
However, this tailwind is inherently cyclical, not secular. I mean, inflation eventually subsides.
Furthermore, capturing that cyclical wave requires mechanical execution. They must physically build, lease, and staff new retail locations to capture the increased volume.
So it is a structurally impressive business, but it remains incomplete.
Which sets up our final point perfectly.
Yes, this leads us to our final analytical pillar, the A paramount and the five on earth.
The absolute zenith of institutional investing. The apex of the taxonomy is defined as double naturality.
This rare state occurs only when an enterprise possesses both an auto-reinforcing coral moat and a natural gratuitous B-wave.
The economic architecture of the business costs absolutely nothing to maintain, and its future geometric compounding costs absolutely nothing to produce.
The entire system functions and scales independently of continuous human decision-making or capital expenditure.
The source material reveals the highly exclusive list of publicly traded companies that meet this impossible, rigorous standard.
There are precisely 5: Visa, MasterCard, S&P Global, Moody's, and MSCI. We must articulate exactly why these 5 stand entirely alone in the global public markets.
They are not merely businesses with deep economic moats. They are self-sustaining reefs, situated in a permanent, unidirectional ocean current.
To reinforce the strictness of this categorization, we must deliberately contrast these five against the most dominant, highly valued corporations on the planet.
Consider Amazon. Amazon possesses the ultimate auto-reinforcing coral moat through its e-commerce and cloud computing network effects.
However, its long-duration growth requires a tremendously costly mechanical, be-relentless, multi-billion-dollar capital expenditure in data centers, server logistics, and physical fulfillment networks.
Dollarama, as we noted, possesses the uninvited wave of consumer trade-down, but it is bound by the mechanical constraints of physical retail expansion and the cyclicality of inflation.
Even Apple, with its fiercely loyal ecosystem, must engage in perpetual high-stakes research and development to produce the next hardware iteration.
Constantly defending its life support moat against global competitors. But consider S&P Global and Moody's.
Global debt markets require standardized ratings to function. Institutional mandates legally require their specific ratings for debt to be purchased.
A heavily funded competitor cannot simply enter the market and undercut them on price, because the financial system demands their specific standard.
Their moat is an auto-reinforcing coral reef. Simultaneously, as global debt issuance naturally expands over decades, their revenue scales automatically.
They do not fund the issuance of global debt, they simply rate it. Only Visa, MasterCard, S&P Global, Moody's, and MSCI possess this perfect human-independent equation.
The auto-reinforcing network effect ensures institutional survival without defensive capital expenditure.
And the structural macroeconomic wave ensures geometric compounding without offensive capital expenditure.
They operate beyond the limitations of human execution. They are the apex of the complete taxonomy.
Which brings us to the ultimate question for anyone managing capital.
Review your own portfolio with this rigorous framework in mind. Consider the assets you currently believe hold wide moats. Are they truly built on coral, sustained organically by their own architecture?
Or are they built on sand, vulnerable to a single regulatory decision from an agency director?
Are they surviving only on the life support of continuous human execution and massive capital expenditure? The moat that matters is not the one you can see. It is the one that no one can reverse.
A profound conclusion.
To explore these investment strategies further and discover more from the collection, visit the website averagingup.com.